Attention, those of you now listening to this, you are the lucky ones. Earth has been devastated by an attack of biblical proportions. We are all victims now. We have become slaves to otherworldly beings who want nothing more than bloodshed and devastation among our species. Oh, I'm sorry, I was reading it upside down. Oh, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Halloween edition of All the Best on FBI.
And what a welcome that is to the All the Best Halloween special. I'm going to be trying to do that all through the show today, try and put on my creepiest voice imaginable, but it's kind of hard when we're in the midst of a supporter drive here at FBI, but we'll stick to it. As I said, it is the All the Best Halloween special. A big thanks to Amy Gibbs for giving us the weekend overhang. My name is Gina McEwen and I'm filling in for Eliza Salas this morning here on All the Best, every Saturday from 10 till 11. Now, we have to say, it was last week's show on All the Best was absolutely amazing. It was a retrospective of FBI's history, and it was as part of our supporter drive that we told the story of FBI from its very beginnings. And it was quite emotional, both for supporters and all the volunteers and everybody who helped put the station together and who keep it running to this very day. And we had a lot of people calling up saying how fantastic it was that we were able to give that story, and everybody pledged their support, and it was just a really great show of the love of FBI, basically. But we should tell you that our supporter drive is still running, and the theme is instant karma. So basically, if you give us a call on 833-22945, pledge your support for as little as $7 a month and become a supporter of this fantastic station. And you can win yourself a whole bunch of prizes. So if you're a keen listener to All the Best in FBI and you haven't yet signed up, then please do so. That way we can keep bringing you the music and stories that you love to hear, which you won't be able to hear anywhere else. And this is exactly how we stay on air, with your support. So give us a call, 833-22945, and you can score yourself these two pairs of Graz Sunnies. Now, they're worth $350 a pop. So if you give us a call, 833-22945, you may just get your hands on these sunglasses. I'm looking at them right now, and I think you should give us a call, 833-22945. Now, coming up on the show today on All the Best, we'll be talking spooky, scary, and downright spine-tingling Halloween styles as we bring you ghostly stories from all over Sydney in preparation for tomorrow. Colleen Harrison will be taking us on a stroll back in time to the rocks in the 1800s, and we have a few creepy stories from her that will be told throughout the show. Vanessa Berry will recount the tale, Chicken, Egg and Zombies. The one and only Vincent Price will be dropping past the studio. And what would happen if your travel compass began to point you in all the wrong directions? Toby Schmitz tells us the true story of a haunted compass. That's still to come here on All the Best Halloween special. But first, Colleen Harrison tells us a story about the city's dark past and the ghost of Cadman's Cottage.
A very interesting story is told in there, a bizarre story of Thomas Warne and Vidal. And Thomas Warne was a rich merchant who lived in Harrington Street. And, you know, for two men friends, they lived together. There was a little bit of gossip and talk about their relationship. And one night, Warne and Vidal had a very bad argument, and Vidal picked up an axe, swung it through the air and collected Warne on his right temple, killing him instantly. And Vidal was overcome by panic, and he chopped the body up into pieces and stuffed it in the fireplace and lit the fire. But unfortunately, the chimney caught alight. So he got up onto the chimney and was pouring buckets of water down, really panic-stricken. What was he going to do? So he then kind of got rid of the flames with the water and packed the body pieces into a suitcase or a couple of suitcases and got a friend to help him carry these suitcases down to the water. And unfortunately, one of the suitcases came open and all of the body parts fell onto the sandy shore. and Vidal was hung for the murder of his lover.
That one there was Colleen Harrison from Sydney's Ghost Tours. And if you want more information, Colleen actually takes you on a tour around the rocks of Sydney. And the information is on www.ghosttours.com.au. You're tuned in to All The Best. It is a scary Halloween theme today. And we're going to play songs all through the show that are as part of the theme, which we regularly do here on All The Best. And the first track I have for you is called North American Halloween Prevention Initiative. And that's the collective. And if you didn't know who the North American Halloween Prevention Initiative are, I'll just name a couple here. So make sure you listen into this one and see if you can pick all their voices. There's Peaches, Beck, Buck 65, Karen O, Devendra Banhart, Feist, David Cross, who's Tobias from Arrested Development, for those who don't know. And there's a whole stack more here on the list, but see if you can listen to them all. You're on All The Best. Pretty sure by now we all know it's Halloween after that one. They were just making sure. If you weren't too sure who that was, well, I don't blame you, because it was a whole stack of artists. It was Beck, Buck 65, David Cross from Arrested Development, Devendra Banhart, Feist, Peaches, Jenny Lewis, Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and a whole stack more. It was released back in 2005 on Vice Records, and it had, as I said, a whole stack of artists and other performers performing under the name North American Halloween Prevention Initiative. And it actually reached number 4 on the Canada Pop Chart. You are listening to All The Best, and as part of tomorrow's celebration, we have themed the show Halloween. And we've got a whole stack of stuff still to come. We've got a story of Ivan Davies' haunted compass, and we do have Vincent Price coming up very, very soon.
You're listening to All The Best, stories from Sydney.
On FBI.
It's just clocked on 10:15, and we are in the midst of the FBI supporter drive, as well as being in the midst of All The Best Halloween special. Now, if you are feeling like it's a bit too bright today, or you're feeling like a little under the weather, maybe you had a big night last night, then we do have a fantastic prize that we have to give away in the next 45 minutes. And if you are not a supporter of FBI as of yet, but you do love All The Best and you love FBI, and you love what we do, then give us a bell. 833-22-945. We have a whole stack of stuff to give away right now. We've got movie passes we've got preview screenings, and we do have these pairs of sunnies. They're both worth $350. They're Graz limited edition sunnies, and they do have a cult following all around the world, and they're really in high demand, and the people at Graz have given us a few pairs to give away to you. So please give us a call, 833-22-945, and you can score yourself these sunnies when you renew your support. We're going to hear a story now from Vanessa Berry as part of the Halloween theme today. It's called Chicken, Egg and Zombies.
The new house didn't quite feel ours until we had a Halloween party. We spent a week making things out of cardboard, a giant chicken, a giant moth, a whale jawbone to put over the front gate, a skeleton, and an apple for our Pin the Maggot on the Apple game. My costume was a giant papier-mâché egg, a big white oval with holes for my head, arms and legs. I wanted something 3D, a big round Humpty Dumpty thing. I got my wish. Tottering around as the egg took some patience. I had to take things slowly. It also prevented me from sitting down for the whole of the party. But what is pleasure without some suffering? Rather than the bacon accompaniment, Simon decided to dress as Darth Vader. I wondered why he'd brought home two empty packets of Winnie Blues during the week. I didn't realise why until he put his costume together. It was based around a plastic Darth Vader mask with a panel hanging off it like a shield, which had buttons you could press for various effects. One played his asthmatic breathing, another modulated your voice into Darth's, as he warned you, "Don't smoke." Although there didn't seem to be much correlation between an egg and Darth Vader, side by side I noticed we were black and white, so perhaps we could be evil and good. With everything set up, we waited for our guests to arrive, and eventually they did. There is generally a point at a good party when you feel that anything can happen. This feeling came when everyone was clustered in the yard, taking turns to remove their fortunes from the papier-mâché chicken. There was a hole in the back of the chicken for this purpose, and inside were balloons with the fortunes poked inside. I had chosen the fortunes from a book called Napoleon's Book of Fate, which had confusingly archaic fortunes, like, "When thou findest a treasure, teach thy tongue to be silent, and see that thou makest good use of thy riches." I watched one of the kids who live round the corner, a boy dressed as a zombie Michael Jackson, drag his little brother up to the chicken. "You pull your fortune out of the chicken's ass," he cried, removing a balloon and jumping on it to burst it. He retrieved the fortune and stumbled in reading out the convoluted message, something about nourishing the sapling. I wondered if they'd be disappointed, but they did not care that they did not understand. The chicken and the balloon were exciting enough. Then came the moment when everything felt simultaneous. The apple-bobbing trough tipped over and a wave of water engulfed the lawn. A mauve iced cake was sliced by the light of a dolphin torch. A zombie and a witch danced to altered images. The next day the lawn was littered with stuff. Burst balloons, plastic fangs, bottle caps, shuttlecocks, a box of matches from a London hotel, fake currency, extinguished sparklers. The plants in the front garden had survived the energetic games of improvised badminton and the group of random drunk girls who had stormed suddenly over the fence, screaming out "trick or treat" before leaving just as quickly. We cleared up all the scraps, put the chicken under the house, dismantled the whale jawbone. The giant moth, though, we left on the front window. The next time the zombie Michael Jackson boy came past, this time looking normal in his school uniform, he told us to never, ever take the moth down. And, as yet, we haven't.
You are listening to All the Best on FBI.
Who doesn't love singing along to that song? That is, of course, Ray Parker Jr. with Ghostbusters. And it's all part of the Halloween theme here on All the Best this morning. Before that track, we heard from Vanessa Berry, and the story she told us was Chicken, Egg and Zombies. And you can check it out online on her blog, I Am Camera 14. All the details are at vanessaberryworld.wordpress.com. As I said, the Halloween theme on All the Best this morning, and we're going to jump straight back into another story because we've got lots of stuff here to come on All the Best. I just love this theme. It's pretty cool. We've got lots of stings coming up too, which you should listen out for. We have Vincent Price coming up very, very soon. But now we're about to hear from Toby Schmitz as he tells us the eerie true story of Ivan Davies and his compass.
It was a no-brainer for me this evening. I thought that I'd simply tell you one of the creepiest things that's happened to me. I've always been interested in the Second World War. My father taught the period, and, you know, I was a boy, and there was lots of books lying around, and both my grandfathers served, albeit for different sides. And and I was especially interested in airmen because, you know, these men would be in these new machines up there for these intense hours trying to kill each other, and then they'd be, you know, home at the pub that night unable to talk about it. Talking about it amongst pilots is considered very bad luck, who've been a superstitious lot since the Red Baron. And, you know, it was an order. They were ordered to not talk about it. no one wants to hear about it in the field or at home. But something happens when you're closer to death and you want to shed the last heaviest loads, I suppose. And I was an intrepid kid, which is another word for nosy. And to stop me accosting old men on trains, asking them what they did during the war, my grandmother introduced me to a guy called Ivan Davies, who knew my grandfather and was an airman in a bomber crew during the Second World War and ran Legacy in Australia for quite a few years. And he and his wife, Mercy, introduced me to a whole list of airmen who, fortunately, most of them lived in the same sort of war pension retirement village of theirs, who were willing to talk to me. And I recorded a lot of incredible stories on my little dictaphone. And most, more importantly, perhaps, for a 12-year-old, I got given heaps of cool stuff, medals and coins and a photo of a Japanese woman with dried blood on it and a Italian tank commander's helmet with Egyptian sand still in it, and letters and really treasured things. And they all went in a wooden fruit box under my bed. But Ivan Davies' story was the one that really snared me. Ivan was a 19-year-old WA farm boy flying, co-piloting a Halifax bomber, which flew out of Suffolk and dropped bombs over, you know, the Third Reich. And one night, smack in the middle of the war, his plane caught fire over occupied France. It was actually sabotage, but it's another separate story. And the first person who jumps out of a Halifax that's going down over Nazi Europe is the navigator, who folds up his stool and unscrews a hatch and jumps out. The second is the co-pilot. And then there's five more people to squeeze through this little hatch with their parachutes after them. And the rear gunner knows he's a goner, you know. And anyway, the only two people who got out of this Halifax were Ivan, the co-pilot, and his navigator, a guy called John. And they both saw the plane sort of blow up and get engulfed in flames and sort of just sail down into the night as they drifted apart in the darkness, which was, Ivan says on the tape, incredibly quiet after all that din. And they both, fortunately, very luckily, landed and found resistance farmers who took them in and hid them and fed them and passed them up something called the Comet Line, which was a resistance line that helped airmen get out of Europe via Belgium, eventually onto boats to neutral countries, hopefully. That was the idea. And even more incredibly, they found each other, which is really good for them because they've been friends since training. And although Ivan had the sort of the silk map that was sewn into his flight jacket, he knew no French, whereas John knew a little bit, and most importantly, had his navigator's compass, without which they just really couldn't survive. And so the first night of their reunion, they were hidden in an attic, and Ivan was really perturbed to find that John had secreted a bottle of wine. He was kind of peeved that he wasn't sharing it, and then really horrified to see him drink the whole thing. And the thing was that something had gone wrong with John. He'd hurt his leg in parachuting into a dry riverbed, and so his limp made him really conspicuous. And he was also in some kind of terrified shock. The crash had affected him completely differently. And this night he proceeded to get really drunk, fall asleep, and then started screaming in his sleep. And he couldn't be woken and stopped because he was so rotten drunk. So the next morning, the family that was hiding them sort of kicked them out of the house in case they'd alerted the neighbours and sort of threw them into the woods and made them go to the next rendezvous by themselves. And what followed was this really horrible journey where Ivan, you know, had to keep this guy awake and quiet, and they passed, you know, soldiers and farmers with dogs and Nazi cops and a lot of it until they got to the next rendezvous and they were staying in a barn and in a place called Crège. And the farmers, once again, these, you know, Frenchy farmers, brought out wine for them to drink. And Ivan said to John he really didn't want him to drink it and warned him. And, of course, John drank and got drunk again and accused Ivan of wanting to kill him. And Ivan was 19, you know, and really scared. So that night when he was asleep, he made this decision. And he split the bread and left John with the silk map. But in a move that I think plagued Ivan till he died in 1998, he stole John's compass. And navigators are really attached to their compasses. And Ivan luckily used the compass and bravely to go up the Comet Line, and it took 9 months before he was back in England. And I have all his notes that he wrote for the Special Operations Branch when he got there. But two nights later, he was only 5 miles north of where he abandoned John in a place called Chevron. And in his notes, it just said stayed night in Chevron. But what he told me, and I've got on this tape, is that in the middle of the night sometime, he was in another attic in a village, and he woke up and John's face was right there in the dark on top of him. And he felt a weight over his entire body and couldn't breathe and was choking. And he said his mouth was full of wine. And that's what it says on the tape. He says it really quite simply, my mouth was full of wine. And he was convinced that John was in the room. And then as dawn broke, it revealed that there was no one in the room at all. And it wasn't until years after the war when he was back in WA and he used his legacy contacts to find out that the same night that he had this visitation, John was caught by the Gestapo and shot in a farm and along with the family that were hiding him. And I remember as a kid, and you can hear it on the tape, just being incredibly relieved that Ivan hadn't killed him in the barn. I thought that was where the story was going to go. I mean, I was creeped out by the visitation and everything, but I just remember being really relieved. And I was also kind of creeped out because Ivan sounded so guilty, and he'd waited till his wife Mercy had left to go and do some errands to tell me the story in their kitchen. And the older I've got, the more I truly believe that I think I'm the only person he told the story to. But anyway, he did something which I didn't feel right even then, and he gave me John's compass. And he showed me how, if you put it near a PowerPoint, it span by itself. And whenever there was a declination in weather pressure, it would spin by itself. And he said, just, you know, store it out of the way. And so I went in the fruit box with my other stuff. And sure enough, you know, when someone used power in the house, turned lights on, or when there was like really low pressure system, you could hear this thing spinning through the leather case that it was in with John's initials on it, and through the box and through my mattress. And whenever other mates had come over, I'd show it to them and play Ivan's sort of creepy tape. And I basically gave myself nightmares, and I thought that John was, you know, come in and sit on my chest at night. So my parents quite wisely took the box and put it in the attic, where it stayed for 20 years. And this Christmas, I went back. My parents are separating, and so I'd, you know, go through all the stuff, the attic stuff, and I found the compass. And it's got his initials on it. And go there. And I remembered it all suddenly. I remembered the whole thing I'd forgotten about it. And so I brought it back to Sydney, where I live, with a couple of other choice pieces to put on my shelf. And I showed my flatmate it and couldn't get it to spin by itself. And he didn't really like it from the word go. I think he finds all that stuff quite creepy. But then the next day after I got back, it went missing. And we searched high and low for it, and eventually ended up accusing a friend's kid of stealing it. It was really embarrassing. And then it was only this, like sometime in winter, I was reorganizing my shelves, and I found it behind the books. And I chastised myself for not having looked there, but then my flatmate said he had looked there, but obviously not well enough, and so on. 2 weeks later, so I put it back on the shelf with my, you know, tank helmet and my D-Day pack of Lucky Strikes. And 2 weeks later, I went to show it to someone, and it was gone again. And I freaked out and left the house, actually. It was evening. I just walked out. And I went back later with my girlfriend and looked for it, and it was behind the books again. And I instantly just sort of put it in a shoebox with some stuff and put it in my cupboard in my bedroom. And that night, I thought, I could hear the fucking thing spinning again. So I got up. And I put it, the shoebox, in the laundry with my flatmate's fishing stuff. And that's basically, you know, where it lives. And when I knew I was going to talk about it tonight, sort of a couple of weeks ago, I went and checked on it, and it was there, which was sort of a minor relief. And then I got my mum to send over the tapes, well, sort of little, you know, Bakelite briefcase that I had all these dictaphone tapes in. And they came on Monday. And the tape of me talking to Ivan, which is creepy enough to listen to after 20 years, I wasn't the best interviewer as a 12-year-old or what it was, it cuts out halfway through it. Ivan's talking about the night when he sort of abandoned John. And the thing just, the tape just is just wiped, and none of the other tapes are wiped in it. And anyway, so I started getting really creeped out. And last night I put it out on the table with my overnight bag and stuff on the kitchen table. And this morning I came down on the stairs and it just wasn't on the table, and I froze. And it was on the ground under the table. And I really started getting the jeebies about it, especially about flying with it today here. And my girlfriend and I actually had a spat about it. She said, "Why can't you just take the case? You know, like, they won't know." But I did, and it was a really hairy flight, not without its turbulence. And I tell you what, it really spins at 30,000 feet. It just goes nuts. And I was on the... my flatmate doesn't want it in the house. You know, I don't really like it. And I was at the airport getting a cab here, sort of doing some final research on my iPhone, sort of investigating the protocol for pilots that are shot down these days. And I read this phrase that said, "The pilot must keep his map and his compass concealed at all times." And I just had this wave in the cab here that the thing doesn't want to, you know, be out in the open, that it needs to be concealed and needs to be hidden. And I'm putting it back in its box. I mean, that's where it's going to go. But I don't really know what to do with it, especially as I get closer to death.
That was Toby Schmitz, award-winning actor and playwright. And the story comes from Fright Night, a night of ghost stories curated by Eddie Sharp, and it's held at the Wheeler Centre. It was held at the Wheeler Centre for Books, Writing and Ideas in Melbourne last week, which is again on tonight at the Red Rattler in Marrickville. So if you really enjoyed that, then you will definitely want to head along tonight. There's loads of stories, songs and performances from a whole bunch of writers and performers. And tickets are available on the door, $15 or $10 if you come in costume. It's a fundraiser for the upcoming 2011 Imperial Panda Festival as well. You're tuned in to All The Best. My name is Gina McEwen. I'm filling in for Eliza Salas this morning. And you're not only on All The Best, but you're on FBI, and we are in the midst of the FBI supporter drive. It is all about instant karma this week on FBI. We really need your support, and it's for as little as $7 a month. You can help keep us on air. It really is you that keep us on air, and your support becoming a supporter of FBI. If you give us a bell, 833-22945, not only will you feel awesome because you're giving away good karma and you're giving away a donation to FBI, but we'll give back to you as well. Graz limited edition sunglasses. Do you know what these are? If you don't, you may have been under a little rock, unless you're in the fashion industry. Graz actually headed up two of Australia's most respected eyewear labels, AM Eyewear at the age of 19, and also Subi Eyewear, where he was head eyewear designer by the age of 23. And this is not too bad for a kid who actually dropped out of school at 15. And you could get yourself a pair of these sunglasses. They're worth $350. All you need to do is give us a call, 833-22945. They're sitting right in front of me and they're absolutely beautiful. And you can pick two styles that we're giving away this morning within the next 20 minutes. So make sure you get your hand on the phone and you dial the numbers 833-22945 and keep FBI on air and score yourself a bunch of prizes as well as that. As well as winning these sunglasses that are worth $350, you also score yourself a whole bunch of first look screenings that are happening all around Sydney. So give us a call right now, 833-22-945.
Little ghost, won't scare the most. Can you scare me up a little bit of love?
Hey everyone, it's me, Willem Dafoe, the creepiest looking man in the world. You're listening to All The Best Halloween Special.
There's been many sightings of a boy, a cabin boy, on Observatory Hill, and a school teacher and a student have seen this boy going back about probably about 6 years ago. A young man in his 20s was very adamant he'd seen this boy holding a piece of chain in his hand, and he described him as wearing a white shirt and dark pants. Other people that have seen this figure describe this little figure as being about a 13-year-old boy, very thin, very sad little boy with no shoes and quite ragged in his appearance. And it's believed he's the ghost of a cabin boy who was bashed by a gang, and he wandered up onto Observatory Hill, and his little body was found in a fetal position in the grounds of the observatory. And we feel that many people, you know, who over the years have sighted him, and on our tour there's been a few sightings of that little figure.
Very creepy stuff. That again from Colleen Harrison. And she does tours around the rocks and all sorts of places. And if you want to go on a ghost tour with Colleen, go to www.ghosttours.com.au. And before that one, we heard from the White Stripes of Little Ghost. This is all part of the All the Best Halloween special. And just as an aside, we do still have one pair of the Graz Sunnies to give away. So they're worth $350. And if you want to get your hands on them right now, give us a call, 833-22-945. Coming up after this is Vincent Price. You're on All the Best.
Now gather round, kiddies, I'll tell you something juicy about this dance you call the Watusi. You think it's something new? Well, that's not so. It all really started 400 years ago at the graduation party for Transylvania High back in 1565. We were swaying to the music of...
All the Best. Stories from Sydney. On FBI.
Good evening, everyone.
Morning.
Excuse me?
When this goes on air, it'll be morning.
Very well. Good morning, everyone. Tonight's tale is one of
this
misery and what?
This morning's tale.
This morning's tale is one of misery and woe. I would strongly advise those of you with weak dispositions to pursue the solace of more traditional fare. Heed my warning as I recount to you the macabre tale of the man in the big black hat. It was a cold day in the township, colder than usual, and Henry had several errands to run: buy the groceries, visit with the tooth doctor, and have his jet ski repaired. But though his agenda was plentiful, Henry found time, as he always did, to visit the Bugley Brothers hat store. How Henry did adore their hats, and was their selection ever so vast? Yes, it was. Henry never dared to purchase one, however, beautiful as they were. He could barely afford to keep a roof over his head, or indeed a jet ski in his garage. My, how he dreamed of one day possessing one of their stupendous hats. But alas, there it was, the loveliest hat Henry had ever laid his eyes upon. It was big. It was black, and the monetary charge attached read a mere $1, undoubtedly a careless error by the proprietors. Henry couldn't believe his kismet. Good fortune was indeed an acquaintance of his this day, as he strolled down the cobblestone streets, wearing his brand new big black hat. But a ghastly fate awaited Henry, for upon his return home, Henry discovered a terrible truth. As he ambled toward his hallway mirror, Henry realized that his brand new big black hat was, in actuality, his brand new big brown hat! Oh, the soul-crushing devastation! The lighting trickery of the Bugley Brothers hat store, once Henry's palace of pleasure, had now become his fortress of fright! And as he lay on the hallway floor, breathing his last breath until the next one, he was taunted. Taunted as his misguided acquisition made a mockery of him. For he never was, and never shall be henceforth the man in the big black hat.
How is that scary?
Oh, you must be joking. He thought the hat was black, but it was brown. It's a horror of horrors. Anyway, I'd better get back to my car. This isn't a good neighborhood. Fare thee well, producer lady, and a happy Halloween to you all.
Bye.
See ya.
That was Vincent Price, who dropped into the studio just a couple of days ago to record that one. You're tuned in to All the Best here on FBI. It is 10 to 11, which means All the Best has just 10 more minutes to go of this Halloween special, all in preparation of tomorrow, the 31st. My name is Gina McHugh, and I've been filling in for Eliza Salas this morning. We still have another ghost story to be told by Colleen Harrison that's coming up very, very soon. But before that, we do have to give away this pair of sunglasses. It is the FBI supporter drive right now. The theme is instant karma, so why not give some and get some back? We're giving away a pair of Graz sunglasses. Now, these are made by, as I mentioned a bit earlier, I think this is great. It's a guy who designed eyewear for AM Eyewear at age 19 and for Subi at 23. And he's now gone off on his own, and he's got these sunnies to give away. They're worth $350 a pop. So if you want to win those, give us a call, 833-22945. Now, before we heard from Vincent Price, we did hear one from Bobby Boris Pickett with Werewolf Watusi. But we're going to get back into another song now from Jack the Ripper. It's from Screaming Lord Sutch, and it's called Jack the Ripper. You're an FBI.
Of London late at night.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper,
with a little black bag that's all sorts.
There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. Oh, it's just a cat.
All the best. This is a story from the ghost tours of Colleen Harrison. And as she's been playing stories all through the show, we went down and had a chat with her. And she takes you on ghost tours through the rocks. So this is her tale of Mrs. Greenfield.
Well, this is the story of Mrs. Greenfield. And in the rocks in the 1800s, there were many bawdy taverns along the laneways, and the tavern owners would try to make their taverns very welcoming because people would go there and dance and sing and brawl and of course drink and have a good time. And it was at one of these bawdy taverns one afternoon that Mr. Greenfield, the publican, caught his wife in bed with a young sailor. And Mr. Greenfield was a very jealous man, so he chased the young sailor out of the tavern. It must have been a very funny sight, the young sailor trying to get his trousers on as he took off up the stairs. However, for Mrs. Greenfield, things were slightly more grisly, because her husband chased her around the tavern with a carving knife, screaming at her, "I'll kill you, you filthy whore. I'll chop you up into pieces." Now, when he finally caught her, he dropped the carving knife. He didn't chop her into little pieces. He put his hands around her very thin neck, and he squeezed hard until her body went limp, and he strangled her to death. He was a bit overcome by panic, so he buried her body in the cellars of the tavern. Now, long after Mr. Greenfield had left the tavern, her ghost would appear, dressed in a beautiful gown, little ankle boots, and her long chestnut hair arranged beautifully on her head. Now, many locals thought that she'd come back to seek revenge on Mr. Greenfield. However, her friends believed that she'd come back in search of her young lover. Children in the area could hear the screams of Mrs. Greenfield coming from the tavern long after Mr. Greenfield had gone.
She sure can tell a ghost story. That was Colleen Harrison telling the story of Mrs. Greenfield. And check out ghosttours.com if you want to go on a tour with Colleen, and she'll tell you everything you want to know about Sydney's dark past down around the rocks. Now it's 2 minutes till 11. My name is Gina McEwen. Thank you for joining me this morning on All the Best. I've been filling in for Eliza Salos today. I want to say a big thanks to all our creepy contributors for the show today. Vanessa Berry, Colleen Harrison and Toby Schmitz. Our executive producer, Bridget Dagg, and a special thanks to Ryan Withers, who gave us the Vincent Price story, but also worked hard to give us the very, very creepy Halloween effects you've been hearing on today's show. Don't forget, if you want a podcast of All the Best, fbiradio.com is the place to go. And you can pick up all our past shows as well on there, so make sure you hit that up. And, of course, we have to say a very, very big thank you to all the people who have joined up during the show. We've had Marco from Brighton, Angela from Newtown, Simon from Redfern, who also donated $50, as well as becoming a passionate supporter. What a legend. Castle Como, which is a band from Des Moines. And also, we've got to announce the winners of the Graz Sunnies, these $350 pair of Sunnies. We've got Nathan Wales, so congratulations, you just scored yourself a pair of the Specs. And also Mark Webster from Oyster Bay, you've also scored yourself a pair of those fantastic Sunnies. And also a big thank you to Wendy from Blackheath and also Michael as well. And what we're going to say for the rest of the show, from All the Best, a happy Halloween to you for tomorrow. And you'll be joined next by Kate Jinks with Too Much.
All the best
stories from Sydney
on FBI.